Welcome to the revolution of the mind. This is Why You Mad Son Radio. We do it here every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Call the number 917-889-2924. Hit the number 1 if you want to get in on the show topic tonight. Tonight we are talking about the math good to us, how Black Americans support and finance modern slavery. So that's the stuff that we're talking about tonight. Let's get the housekeeping issues out of the way. Make sure you visit our site, whyyoumadson.com. There you'll find links to our Facebook fan page, the Madman Twitter feed. Make sure you follow us at whyyoumadson. Our show archive is also there. The Madman store is open, so go ahead, copy your t-shirt, lock the Madman on your chest, let them know that you're down with the revolution of the mind. WYMS is syndicated on the Black Talk Radio Network. So for live broadcast and the best in Black Talk, make sure you visit them on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. So tonight's topic is timely, especially coming up with the debate we had the week before, 2 weeks prior to tonight, where we talked about Justice or Else, the Farrakhan March, and so on and so forth. But tonight we're going to hit home with talking about how we actually support modern-day slavery, a.k.a. mass incarceration, a.k.a. the prison-industrial complex. So that's what we're going to be hitting on the roundtable tonight. But first, you know, we got to get our shenanigans out the way, babe. So let me get to you the nuclei of the Madman family, starting with none other than Ms. Nick Patel. She is the Femme Patel and recently relocated and has become a Southern Peach. She is the author of Potty Mouth, and she is a fantastic writer. Make sure you check that out on Tumblr. But she is also our sexy pundit, telling them why you're mad in the most sexiest of ways, while telling you where you could go, where your mama did it, and how she put it to you. She will cuss you out, in other words. Ms. Nick Patel, tell them why you're mad.
I'm mad that I fell victim to my own game that I started with my kids. Way back in the day, I started prank wars for Halloween. The whole month of Halloween, we prank each other, try to scare the crap out of each other. And this year was the first time they got me, and they got me good. And they had the video.
Yes.
I'm quiet.
Video, and I did take the sound bite off of it. And as we get closer to Halloween, that will be played so that we can thoroughly embarrass her on air. Thank you, kids. You will be embarrassing your mama in front of the world.
They ain't about that. They don't care. They don't care.
Next up for the Madman family, not other than Juan, he is one of the head writers over at the Madman Chronicles. Make sure you go check out our articles over at themadmanchronicles.com. But he is also the man of 1,000 AKAs. Meaning, also known as Buffy the White Girl Slayer, also known as Corporate Punishment, also known as El Negro Diablo. So we know him as the Madman Juan. Juan, tell him why you named him.
Well, I mean, those that's been, you know, watching the news lately, you know, I'm over in South Carolina, and, you know, we recently had the most, you know, rainfall that we've had in the history for a very, very long time out here. You know, a lot of people have been displaced out of their homes, and, you know, about 11 people died during, you know, during all this is going on. So, you know, salute to all the families and everybody's going through things. But even in the midst of a tragedy of what's going on out here, there is still some levels of fuckery that hit me to the core that I kind of take personally. What's going on out here is, Well, apparently there's been some reports of some guys basically robbing people of their homes that they abandoned because of the flood water that's going on. People are doing that. And in one case in Georgetown County, there were some guys that were posing as National Guard soldiers. They was knocking on people's doors, telling them, oh, you guys gotta evacuate the area, you know, the place is getting flooded, you guys gotta evacuate. So people are, you know, thinking these guys are soldiers, so they evacuate, they leave, and then, you know, a few minutes later, so they break them into their houses. The National Guard hasn't even been called up in the state to even have the authority to tell people to evacuate their homes. So, yo, for real? You a special class, whoever's doing this, whoever's doing it, you a some special class of pig feces, trouser stained assholes to be doing this. I can't get over that. Wow. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Wow.
And I can't believe that people aren't aware enough to know that, you know, the National Guard hasn't been even called in yet, or hasn't been called in. The state of emergency hasn't been declared, as far as I know. So why would the National Guard even be there?
You know,
they
just,
must have came out
in
full out rebellion. They must have had the uniforms and guns and all that.
They had something to convince them. That's a shame.
Craziness, man. In the middle of people, losing their homes, losing something tragic like this happening, in their households and things like that being flooded out. I mean, it's for people to go out there and do that, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. I mean, it was so bad. There's a picture in Columbia, there's a little neighborhood in Columbia. A guy is actually kayaking, and the water is flooded up so much, it swelled up to the top of the street sign where he lives at. He's kayaking in the middle of the neighborhood.
That is crazy. Well, I'm glad you're safe, because I know you out there in the midst of that. I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad you're able to join us. Oh, that's terrible. Can't even imagine what it's like to be in that situation. And then to get robbed on top of it.
And then get robbed.
Okay. Yeah. Next up for the Madman Fam, none other than Glove. He is the proprietor of Know the Ledge on Facebook, a huge community of Afrocentric-based knowledge. Make sure you check that out. Just type Know the Ledge in Facebook in the search bar. You'll find it. He is also the head researcher here for the Madman Family, bringing you the jam of the week and the words of the week, none other than the love. Tell him why you're mad, son.
I'm mad that why can't we have Netflix and chill just be simply Netflix and chill? Sometimes when I just want somebody to watch Narcos with me, you know, it don't even have to be some ulterior meaning to that.
Hey,
you can't watch Netflix with a girl and be all snuggled up on a bed and not try to feel on the booty.
If one thing happens, but I'm just saying, well, baby, I just really wanted to have someone to watch this with. And one thing may turn to another thing later, but that's not my fault.
Exactly.
You don't Netflix and chill with your homeboys.
You
can't do that.
Then you'd be okay to do it with a dude.
No, that don't work like that.
Quiet, cricket. That's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought.
Cricket.
That is not a reason to be mad, man. Not a reason to be mad.
We don't, I don't plan on that. You know, you just come over to the
movie. You never plan on that.
We don't plan on that. It just happened.
You know how much movies the theaters are and popcorn and all that stuff where you can go and watch that on Netflix dirt cheap and you have that microwave popcorn and you just be chilling, you have your little drink and
whatever.
You be cool and be in the privacy of your home.
Nah, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. Our board is messing up right now, so theme music stopped playing, but Nick Fatale, could you please do me the honor?
Well, of course. Y'all know what time it is. It's time to bring in our HMIC, our head madman in charge. She is the producer and host of YU Mad Sun Radio. She is the CEO of YU Mad Sun Entertainment. She is our director extraordinaire with two projects coming out. Mm-hmm. Mad Men and Super in Harlem, her love story to the Caribbean Massive and Harlem.
Oh.
Yes. Also coming out of that hip-hop film festival, NYC, where filmmakers like the people who may be listening to us now, hip-hop filmmakers, or regular filmmakers can submit their films so that they can be shown to an audience such as ourselves, and we can support each other and our art. So if you need to check that out, it's hiphopfilmfestivalnyc.com. Is that correct?
Yes. That is right.
Yeah, I'm like, yes. But what we really wait for every week is to see what's hit her radar, what's made her mad, and what she has to clap back on. So we're not going to wait another second. Sha Boogie, why are you mad?
First of all, I'm mad at Blog Talk Radio because their connections is weak and is messing up our show right now, so I'm not happy about that. But I will tell you what I am mad about, for real, for real. I'm thinking about looking at the news today, and it came down the wire that Obama and the administration and the powers that be decided to go ahead and give the Jews reparations for the Holocaust.
Mm-mm. Oh, man.
While we still sitting here,
wait,
without reparations for our hard labor that we've never been paid for. Yeah, man. Y'all didn't hear about this? No. Yeah. I'm over the place.
That's new news to me.
Oh, no. It's about to be old news right now. Look it up. Millions of dollars is being paid out to Jews. Right now, they just signed the paperwork. They're going to give them that money. So, of course, now everybody is up in arms. Everybody's up in arms because they're like, well, how is it that you can give the Jews reparations? And we didn't even do that shit to them. The Germans did that to them. Why are we paying for their suffering that we did not cause? But yet there is an entire group of people that suffered a tremendous, horrible blow through the actual United States of America, who are still disenfranchised, who are still in slavery, who are still enslaved, who are still suffering the effects of it, both physical and psychological, and you're going to give it to the Jews? Not to say that their suffering is any less or any more, but how about you pay the people that you actually owe money to, but that actually deserve those benefits? Let the Germans pay for their shit. Now, I'm going to do some more research into it to figure out exactly how and why it came about. I found out about it, like, right before the show started, so I was unable to dig into it deep. But trust and believe, I'm going to find out. We're going to talk about it again next week because this whole situation about reparations is big. Now, the West Indies, CARICOM, they said they took it to England and they said, y'all going to pay us some reparations because we've already presented to the European nations their list of people who they feel benefited from slavery and who they feel should pay. Maybe there's a story about it. I'm going to put it back up again. But this is what's going on. So you see how the United States is constantly giving us their ass to kick. And I'm proud of it. What do you guys think about that?
I couldn't have said it better. Like, what the heck?
I have no words.
I'm looking online and I'm saying nothing about that.
Mm-mm.
That is crazy. Especially to the fact that, you know, America, we weren't the ones that, you know, subjected, you know, the Jewish population to anything of that sort during the Holocaust. This was during World War II in Germany. You know, a lot of Jews, you know, fled here to America for fear of persecution. So what does that have to do, reparations have to do with what happened to them in Germany? If anything, that should be the German government giving them reparations, not us. What do we have to do with it? I mean, and there's no disrespect to any of the Jewish Americans that did make it over here and everything. You know, they've become part of this country and everything. They've, you know, came up on a come up and did what they do. But why are we giving them money? It don't make any sense.
So I'm going to look more into it. I'll post the story up. I got it from a reputable news source, so I'm definitely going to dig into it deeper, and we're going to have more on that story next week. And I'll definitely send you over what I find, Sharon. She's like, So the voice that you guys are hearing in the background is our lovely guest, and I'm going to introduce you guys to her after we hear the gem of the week. You know, you know how we do. Guests come on after the music. That's how we do it. So, sit back and relax. I'm going to introduce you to the dynamic, fantastic woman. I can't wait to tell you what she's into. You guys are going to love it. And we're going to hit that off the flip. This jam of the week, hopefully the soundboard is going to work right for us right now. Jam of the week is Can't Trust It, Public Enemy. We're going to hit you guys
on the flip. Started slave ships. Slave ships. There are more records of slave ships than one would dream. It seems inconceivable. Until you reflect that for 200 years, ships sailed carrying cargo and slaves.
Man, man, demand violence. In the face of the violence that we've been experiencing for the past 400 years, is actually doing our people a disservice. In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums. All right,
all right. Yeah. All right, all right.
Here come the drums.
The woods, so the people can get some of that reaction to the fact that I kick in a stick in a CML, punch in the joint,
put the boom in the
door, door, kick to the roof, breaking it up, determined loose. Then again, I got a story that's harder than a hardcore force. That's the holocaust, I'm talking about the ones who go at all. I know where from that, some million guns from the blade of the land. Protect me a drag, invaded by the wax, and it whack, it fools the black, it lets us flame it. D&D probably had a big piece, because I sat there, I quit my teeth. Here's a song to the song, but the shape of the stick and a smile that went along with that.
Yeah,
oh,
trust me.
Yeah, no, no, no.
Yeah.
because of that, now I get my teeth cold. Here's a song to the song about the snake and the snake, and a smile went along with that. Get up!
Yes, Public Enemy, Voices of the Revolution. Man, we need to bring them back. Although, yeah. Man, nah, I can't bring Public Enemy back. Flavor Flav done did too much. I can't forgive him. I just can't. You know, even listening back to it, it's like, damn, Flavor Flav. He was the man. He was part of the revolution. He was part of that first. You know what I'm saying? He's one of the vanguard.
Yo, believe, yo, rumor, Chuck D said in the Night of the Living Faces video, Flavor Flav actually wanted to smoke crack in the video before they, him and the Howler D vetoed.
I mean, but that's okay. Pookie, you can have Pookie be a crackhead as long as he still is a revolutionary on some level.
Now,
a crackhead in a revolution?
Right.
What?
No, ma'am.
That was stupid. No. I take that back. Y'all right. My bad. Terrible. But listen, let's get Shannon in on this conversation because I know she is ready to jump in it. So listen, on the line with us is a dynamic woman, fantastic woman. Her name is Sharon Myers. Mayor. She's a native
Barbadian.
Mayor. Yes. She's a native of Barbados, and she is the host of My Big Red Couch, which is an internet radio show which features people with incredible and inspiring stories. Now, Sharon herself is a cancer survivor, and she is in the process of creating a nonprofit organization to offer resources and services for cancer patients and their caregivers. So Sharon is currently working on expanding her presence on the internet by further enhancing the offerings of My Big Red Couch, as well as launching the Lipstick Project, which is an undertaking to help women discover their inner diva by sharing their lipstick story through video. She's fantastic. Welcome to the show, Sharon. Welcome to the show, Vivian.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. So listen, tell us a little bit more about how you decided to begin your show, My Big Red Couch.
Well, actually, my show is on hiatus until this spring, but I decided it began with an accident. I bought a big red couch, and I put some of myself on the big red couch, and it just morphed from there. It was just totally amazing. It was not a plan. I just, you know, and I like to just take things and just run with them, and people would say, well, you know, that's, you know, my girlfriend said, you like to talk to people. That's, you know, you could really do a radio show. And it started off, I was actually going in person and interviewing people in person. I've traveled to different parts of the country. I've traveled to Barbados, to England to interview people. And so the couch kind of became symbolic. I didn't have to obviously take my couch on the road with me. And everyone knew me for the big red couch. And then after I got sick, I started to actually, I couldn't travel anymore. I couldn't even drive myself anymore, but I started my radio podcast. But like I said, it's currently on hiatus because I'm still fighting cancer. And I decided to bring it back in the spring when I'm better. And
I want to bring it back
to the TV show because I love to look at people as I'm talking. And
I just loved it, that aspect of it. So that's on hiatus. But being the crazy person that I am, I always take on different projects. And the lipstick project was
something which is very, very, very personal, something that I didn't share for a year. I actually had moved from Florida in the summer of 2014. I moved from Florida to Kansas, if you can believe that.
A Barbadian in Kansas.
Wow. That is a huge culture shock for the West Indian. Well, Sharon, I'm going to ask you to stay still because your phone is going in and out a bit.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And I'm in and out a bit. Yeah, there you go.
Are you?
Okay. And I moved to be with this guy, and he was, I guess you can say, like, the most fantastic thing you could find. We dated for 15 months before I decided to move. When I got there, the mask was removed, and the monster was revealed.
Oh,
and, yes.
Girl.
Yeah, and so I was there for a year, and I was physically and verbally abused for a year. And mind you, I'm still dealing with cancer. And his, his famous thing for saying was, "Well, you know, no one is above an ass whooping, not even the same Sharon Mayers, the great Sharon Mayers." And incidentally, I had. Incidentally, I had been known for my red lipstick. I always wore red lipstick to the wherever. It was like a thing for me, and everyone knew I loved red lipstick and red stilettos. That was my thing. Red couch, red lipstick, red stilettos. And once I was there, if I wore red lipstick 5 times in that year, I wore it a lot. And so, with the help of my friends, back on August the 13th of this year, I managed to escape my situation and move back to Florida. So I've moved back to Florida, and like a couple of days, and it took me a little while to get, you know, back into the swing of things. And I started to wear my red lipstick again, and I realized exactly why I wore it to begin with, because it's like the most empowering thing that I believe a woman can do for herself is just to put on red lipstick. And yes. I just began to feel so
I really cannot explain the feeling. And then I happened to
fall into this business, and because their company launched a lipstick line, and the lipstick that I saw on there was called Stinkin' Rich, and it was red.
Right.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to sell freaking red lipstick.
And I don't
think selling lipstick.
Story. So you having to deal with trying to sue your company, empowering yourself, using that color red as your branding tool, having to come out of an abusive relationship. And it's so funny because on the show previous to this show, we had a woman on who runs a domestic violence corporation. So I'm definitely going to link you to a behind the scenes.
Awesome.
Because I
think awesome. That would be wonderful.
We bounce off of each other. I have two more questions for you. The first one is, what type of cancer are you battling?
It started in my brain. I was diagnosed with brain cancer, and they told me, essentially, you're not going to live. I was diagnosed
maybe 2013, and they essentially said to me, you're not going to live to see you next birthday.
But I'm
come back to the phone. Come back to the phone. Okay, there you go.
I said, I'm sorry, and I'm going to live. And so I kind of like, I still have a small part of that tumor left. But since then, it's migrated, and so it's now in my liver and my bones. But I'm a really horrible fighter. I have every reason to live.
Well, we are glad to have you on the show. You sound like a fighter, and we wish you much success, and we send you enough positive energy that you beat this thing and get it out of your system. That it goes.
It is given. It is a given.
Yes. Definitely. And I love your spirit. I'm definitely going to link you guys up. I think that you guys should do some great work together. And, of course, the Mad Men will be, you know, helping you guys power that. We'd like to create that type of synergy. And,
awesome. I love it.
And take amongst each other. So, listen, last question, and then you're going to get on with the show, is you got to tell us why you mad. So, give me 2 sentences why you mad, and we're going to get on with the show.
Well, I'm mad because Amber Rose is calling her walk a slut walk. And
stop, because we about to get into it.
Matter of fact, that is a perfect lead-in to the game.
Awesome.
Well, there we go. So, yeah. Mad Men, it is time for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week. You know the rules. Each Mad Men comes with their nominee. It could be anyone from pop culture, politics, they mama's friends, round the way, doesn't matter who it is. But they can nominate anyone for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week. After everyone presents their nominee, our special guest this week, it is Sharon of My Big Red Couch, will determine who the winner is. Everybody clear on the rules?
Yep.
Right.
All right, so let's get started. Starting out with Ms. Nick Fatale, who is your nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week?
Whoever the genius was that decided to put the Kardashian-Jenner family on the cover of Cosmopolitan and then entitle it America's First Family. Are you out of your maggot-ass mind? That's not the first family. First family is Obama and Michelle and the girls. That's the first family. Fuck, hell, put the dog in there, too. The dog is in there, too. The dog part of the first family. Them chicks, that's America's first most scandalous reality family. Don't confuse the two. Don't try to shove them down our throat like they all good. They got them all dressed in white. They hugging up their mama. You know, man, listen. Go sit your ass down. Go sit your Armenian ass down. How about that?
Next up, Juan, who is your nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week?
My nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award is multiple offender, America's thug, George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for the day to where we have to come on the show and have to report that George Zimmerman is dead or been shot. Let me tell you what this people.
Let me tell you what this trial.
Hey, I got a co-sign on that.
Let me tell you why exactly.
Yes.
George Zimmerman, he has a little Twitter account or whatever, and I guess somebody tweeted out a picture of Trayvon Martin's corpse after he was shot. So he decided, somebody tweeted out a picture of him, he decided to RT it or share it, retweet it, across cyberspace. Now,
he don't get down for that.
Nah, bro, that's just something you just don't do. Okay, first of all, to me, this is a guy, okay, the jury that acquitted him of these killings, they need to get some of this, both of their black ass down too for this. You let the real thug out here loose on the street. He's been arrested more than 6 times already for, you know, beating up his girlfriend, beating up his father-in-law, for beating up his other girlfriend, and then one incident in a road rage incident where he brandished a pistol at a guy, and then a guy, I guess, returned a couple months later and shot back at him and missed. For whatever reason.
Right. I remember we gave the guy that missed the Sit Your Black Ass Down Award before.
Yes,
I remember
exactly.
That.
Shooting ass.
Yes, exactly. George Zimmerman, this dude has I'm sure he's going to have a special reserve spot in hell for this dude, okay? Go Sit Your Black Ass Down some damn way, bro. Go somewhere.
Damn. Glove, it is your turn. Who is your nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week?
Tap dancing, soft spoken, thinking about that life, Ben Carson.
Come on with it.
Look.
Come on, what do you think?
Okay, now, all due respect to the victims and the families of those lives lost in Oregon last Friday. But this dude talking about, hey, if it was him out there, he would have took that daggone shooter down his damn self. Get the hell out of here with that bullshit. Come on, dude. And he said it in the most softest, meekest voice. Like, you know, if I was there, I would have handled it myself. We shouldn't be standing there doing nothing. No, bro. Nah. just did his black ass down for real.
For real. I'm about to
I know that's right, Glove.
Go ahead, Glove, again. Okay, it's my turn, and the reason why I stopped sharing is because what she was about to say is my nominee for the week. Amber Rose and this slut walk, and not just Amber Rose, but all the black people that was walking there. First of all, let's remember that slut walks are tools of feminism propaganda machine. This is some white woman shit, that's number one. Number two, Amber Rose get out there talking about slut walk because she made choices in her life and got shamed for them based on her sexuality. Instead of owning it, she wanted to run around and cry and want everybody to feel sorry for her. And y'all dumb black bitches went out there half-dressed, some of y'all in African garb, and ran out there behind her. Now, the reason why y'all all gonna go sit y'all black asses down is not because it's Amber Rose's story is not sad. It is sad. You know, being so I'm but a stripper. Well, if that's all you did, bitch, then that's all you are. If that's how you define yourself, that's on you. But let me tell the sisters that ran out there what's really there. Brothers was out there looking at y'all parading asses, talking about they both slut one, slut two, slut three, slut four. She a slut, she a slut, she a slut. I'm waiting till she get off this line, and I'm going to find out what it's about. You walk in a slut march, and then you want to come out the slut march and don't want to be called a slut. If y'all bitches don't give sit y'all fucking asses down, I am so sick of this mentality. I'm like, don't call me a slut, but I have every right to be a slut, and you better respect it. Y'all bitches need to get y'all minds right. Go sit your ass down for me. I could go on, but I'm going to leave it there. Oh, my goddamn nerves. Oh! I went in the closet with little Timmy, and he told me to get on my knees, and I did, and they opened the door, and I was like, oh, why is this dick in my face? And let me explain something to you, bitch. And what? Yes, this is the story that she told at the slut walk crying on the stage and shit. This is the story. She
goes. Did you see? I automatically tuned out when
why
she
you ain't punching in his dick? Listen, why you ain't punching? If somebody, if he told you, if he tricked you into getting on your knees and put his dick in your face, first of all, what the hell you doing in the closet with him in the first place? That's number one. Number two, he tricked you, got on your knees, put his dick in your face, opened the door so everybody could see. Why you ain't punching his dick? Now you on stage 20 years later crying about it. Are we supposed to feel bad? Let's do the recap. Who's going to win the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week? Nick proposes that the people behind the Cosmopolitan story with the Kardashians as the first family go sit their ass down. The only thing the Kardashians are the first family of is sucking dick and turning men into bitches.
Preach.
Yeah. Do the real talk.
Did I lie?
Preach.
Did I
lie?
It's the real talk.
Y'all nominated George Zimmerman Multiple Offender yet again for tweeting out pictures of Trayvon Martin's dead body and then acting like he was a G about it.
Exactly.
Glove nominated Uncle Tom Ben Carson for acting like he doubt that life. Talk about if he was up in the spot, he would have took it down. Man, shut the hell up. I nominated Amber Rose's old slut walking, no slut shaming ass for getting all of these young black girls to go and follow her into the street screaming about they slut and come see me walk. Unbelievable. So, Sharon, it is up to you to pick the winner. Who gets to go sit your black ass down anymore for the week?
Well, this is a tough one, but I'm going to give it to George Zimmerman. He is nothing but a media whore.
So the award goes to George. Go take your bad ass down.
Yes.
All right. There you have it. Juan, you get to say the words this week. Go ahead and tell them how you feel, baby.
George Zimmerman, you can have several seats. They need to put you under the jail, or somebody need to put you 6 feet under. But until that time, go sit your ass down somewhere.
That's what I'm talking about. And there you have it, folks. That was the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week. Make sure you tune in next week. We're going to have a new round of nominees and a new winner. Go sit your black ass down, George Zimmerman. I really wanted Ben Carson to win, though.
I did, because, you know, it was hard this week. It was hard because when Glove so eloquently pointed out how he was like, I would have handled that. Man. Shut up, Mr. Tippy Toe. Be quiet. He's going to handle it. I was like, yo, he said he hit the nail right on the head.
Hey, I'll post a clip later on the Madman page.
Please do. Please do. So listen, as we get into the show topic this week, let me remind everybody what we're talking about, because our shenanigans are behind us. I'm about to get serious right now. This week we're talking about the master good to us. Now, I have to put slave inflection on there. How black Americans support and finance modern slavery. This is going to be a very interesting topic, because it's one we've never done before, so it's a bit new. So we each have prepared some research on the topic that you can go and research for yourself and see how you can divest. Remember how divesting was huge back when apartheid was out? Everybody wanted the colleges and companies to divest out of South Africa to help end apartheid. We're calling on black Americans to divest out of mass incarceration. I'm going to tell you exactly how you fund with your dollars and support it with your mentality. So that's what we're talking about tonight. But at any rate, let's go ahead and get into the words of the week. It's from our boy Akon. Glove pulled this clip for us. It has something to do with the topic, but we wanted you to listen to this and pull some knowledge from it. Somebody from Africa coming to live here and how they see us. Was it a week to get
you on? You know, you once told the Source magazine, and I want to quote this, black people in the U.S. can nag all they want how the system is against black people, but if they saw how other people lived in Africa, they would see how blessed they really are. Do you still believe this today when you see unarmed black teenagers being killed by the police, when you see protests in St. Louis, in Missouri, where you lived for a long time, when you see people taking to the streets in Atlanta and New York to denounce police brutality against young African-American men? Do you think the system really is for these people?
Well, the system was never for them.
So what made you say this?
Because when I said that, I was talking about the environment and where they live and the rights that they actually have and the blessing that they do, you know, have actual access to. In Africa, the way I grew up, let's just pick a project in New York, for instance. That's a 5-star hotel compared to the environment I came up in. Like, if they see how they live, they actually get money from the government. They actually are programs that helps the impoverished and the poor, and you get food stamps, and I mean, like, they have it good compared to Africa. You follow? There's a huge difference in how the government allocate funds towards poor and how the government allocates funds towards poor in Africa. The environments are not even left and right. If these guys were able to be taken from where the environment they're in now to the same equal environment in Africa, they would be crying to come back home to America. Literally.
But you say now that the system...
No.
Against them. When you talk about when you
now
talk
let's
about,
get to the system.
Yes,
I was
system.
Talking about way of life.
Right.
Now, as far as the system in America was never built for black people. And this is my personal opinion. I'm speaking for myself. I don't believe it was never built for black people, because that system has never been changed. Those documents have never been altered. These things were made back in the umpteen hundreds. And these are the same exact literature that's down today. So mind you, at the time it was made, black people was never in the position where they were, you know, looked at as equal. So if it's the same documents that they're applying today in 2014, it wasn't meant for them.
Very deep. I've never really heard Akon speak before other than, you know, his music, you know, and I know what he's doing for bringing electricity to Africa and to the African villages and countries there and doing fantastic work. So I can only imagine that he would definitely have something to say once somebody put a microphone in his face. What do you guys think about what he said?
I agree with that. I agree. We do have, in comparison to our African brothers and sisters that actually still live on the continent, we do have it a lot better than they do. Not to say that we don't have any problems at all, but just our problems in comparison to theirs are a little bit less stressful. If we were to switch places with them, we couldn't cut it. If they were to switch places with us, y'all couldn't keep them from running through the streets and shouting out, yes, because it would be a little bit easier on them. They would have less to worry about. They would have more available to them. So I get what he's saying.
Right.
And shout out to Akon for his work in Africa.
Definitely. When they come here, when Africans come here into this country, they take the ball and they run with it.
They take full advantage of the opportunities that are afforded to them. They do. And they help each other.
Sharon, coming from as a true West Indian native, do you do you agree with what Akon said? Because I know my family's from the Bahamas, so I definitely understand that. Even though I'm born and raised here, my family is West Indian as well, and it's kind of the same thing. We see West Indians come here. West Indian communities, we do tend to keep our money within our community. The opportunity that's afforded here in America is probably greater. What do you think about that?
Well, the opportunities are greater, and I think coming from a different country, we're a lot more, I'm going to use the word grateful, and really think that we're lucky. So then we work harder and we try, you know, to make the best of, you know, the best of things. So I think that people that are born here are a little bit, I don't want to, the word that I'm coming up
say
with
it.
Entitled.
Do it. Say it.
And they're spoiled. You know, Americans, they're really spoiled. And we discuss it a lot amongst ourselves, you know, in Barbados. You know, if, I don't think that they'll be able to cut it, you know, if they were to go, I mean, not necessarily to Barbados, but because Barbados has become quite Americanized now also. But if you go to, you know, like a country like Africa, I'm thinking they will really have a hard time surviving, and they'll really be, know that they have nothing to complain about. And, you know, I think sometimes they might need to just see the other side of the coin, instead of seeing it on television, just get to go there. And, you know, that's why they have mission trips. You know,
right,
send some of these kids on some mission trips, you know, get them to see how the other side lives. And I think it would give them a greater appreciation for what little they think they have.
One of the things that he said struck me. He was like, you know, the project for us is one thing, but to them, that would be like a 5-star hotel.
Yes.
And that's because of the concept, you know, it's crazy to think of that. Gloves, let me ask you this question. Do you think that black Americans wouldn't be able to cut it on the continent?
I believe we could cut it. I believe that as much suffering, because one thing that I feel that most Africans in that continent have never experienced or never have the repercussions of to that extent is our how we were enslaved as cattle and how we endured amongst that and how that will made us strong as we are to endure things. So I do believe that we can make it in that situation. Now I don't know now that with that said, there's gonna be some people that's gonna like be cut off the wayside. You know, that it's too Americanized or how everyone But the strong will always survive. That's how I always believe.
That's interesting. That's something we definitely have to explore a little bit more.
Yes.
Juan, you want to get in on
that? A little.
disagree a little. That's true. But let's expound on that. What part do you disagree with?
I want to ask him a question. He's talking about the suffering that you know that you've been put through. But do you think that today's generation actually has the appreciation for the suffering that they've been put through in the, you know, back in the day? Do you think they actually appreciate it, or they even feel it?
Well, I would say they do. I would say that trauma, when you get into the genetics of trauma, and I was just sitting through a lecture with Azaki Umar this past weekend, and we talk about trauma. That's something that is embedded in your very DNA. So while there may not be a conscious acknowledgement of it, I think that every Black American understands what they've gone through, what their ancestors have gone through, how you can't go anywhere in this country without being reminded of it. So it does there's a resilience that kind of evolves within the mind of the Black American that has still yet to be studied. We are of a different case. You know what I mean? And it's still evolving. But if they don't remember it, I see your point, Sharon. I do see your point. If they don't remember it consciously, if they're not aware of it consciously, they are definitely aware of the traumatic experiences that their ancestors went through on the very basic DNA level, because it stays with you and it carries. And there's been psychological studies that show that traumatic experiences of your forefathers create in you, you remember it. You have reactions to certain things, certain things you're scared of, certain things you won't do. You have certain phobias based on the traumas that happen to people you've never met who are in your bloodline. So you can imagine what 400 years of trauma has done to the generation that is before you today. It's deep.
But do you think they've developed, because we were talking about resilience, do you think that they've developed, you know, a really high level of resilience as opposed to their forefathers?
Well, yes.
Can I speak on this a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
I want to get in on this. Well, you know, as you know, with the evolutionary process, I mean, if you're into the whole thing, sort of Darwinism, sort of like that, you know, it's part of like an evolution process. It's, you know, passing down. They look at, I think what Dr. Umar was speaking on, and I saw some research about this too, because there's some research that is digging more into this. They're looking at it as far as like on the genetic level. You know, DNA is basically just information. You know, information about, you know, the genes, you know, one from one parent, one from another parent, and then combining to create, you know, an all new human being. And the theory that they're looking at into this is, well, in that information that's encoded in the DNA, what if memories are stored in DNA? And, you know, they're looking at it into the, and kind of what Boogie was kind of speaking on was that, yeah, you know, over the course of, you can look at it over the course of time, but over the course of years, over the course of generations, yes, people can evolve to a certain extent where, you know, we're becoming stronger, not only physically, but mentally. I mean, you can even go back to like, I mean, even my mother, she worked as a nurse. She noticed how like back in the 70s or back in the 50s, back in the day when she was first working as a nurse, you know, most of the young babies, when she worked in the NICU ward, you know, a lot of the babies, when they were first born, they were born, you know, with their eyes closed, and they stayed, you know, they were a little bit smaller, you know, eyes closed all the time, and they wouldn't open their eyes for like a week or so. Nowadays, you see nowadays in this generation, you see babies born wide awake. And
I go around.
The mama, my daughter is born wide awake. Yeah, my daughter opened her eyes as soon as she heard my voice. And I thought that was weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Babies
all
being born,
kids,
yeah, they're born
awake.
Wide awake.
All my kids are wide awake.
Yeah.
But you know what? I see what Sharon's talking about, because what's happening is we talk about resiliency and we talk about being strong and being able to think and have conscious thought to the progression of the people. But what we're seeing is that we're easily manipulated by media. We're easily thrown off our track, whereas, you know, West Indians come over here and look at Black Americans like, what the fuck are you doing with all these dish you have? How are you just taking it for granted? The Africans come over here and be like, you know what, I'm going to buy up with the whole 116th Street because none of you Black folks is even taking the time to learn how to get this. So I understand what she's saying.
Right.
While we have developed a huge resilience, we also have developed a huge love for white handouts.
And it's complacency also. You kind of like become complacent because there's, you know, he was saying there's food stamps available, there's all this stuff available. And just to give you a case in point, when my sister came to visit me when she was 16 and she came to me pregnant, and we took her, I think, to this clinic, and she got so much stuff handed to her. I was in amazement, and I never got any of that stuff. So there is a sense of, you know, there's stuff that's so readily available for people who they know they don't have to work hard for things that they want. And so there's that comfort. They're comfortable. They're really comfortable. And
they become entitled. They become entitled.
Yes, that's the word that I said before, entitled. But, you know, that's the problem. I'm not saying that they don't feel what has happened to them, but has it made them any mentally stronger or any, like, you put them in a situation where if you send them to Africa, you know, that's what we were discussing. I really don't think, I'm not going to survive. I don't care. I'm not from Barbados, but I would not survive.
Can I add something real quick?
Yes, and then we're going to take it to the phone lines. I got some callers on here. I'm going to try.
Okay, there's like, the thing about Black Americans and what's making them so different to many Africans over in the motherland is the fact that we are displaced. We do not really have a true community. We don't have a true identity because I've been stripped and wiped out away. So we don't know who we are. Whereas in Africa, there's so many tribes, so many families, so many communities that know who they are, they know their history, know their legacy, no matter if they are the poorest of the poor of the poor, they'll be happy because they know what they are and what they're about. That's what we are seeking. If we go to Africa, we will embrace anything that was going on there, regardless of the circumstances there is, that at least we'll find something that belongs. That's what all Black Americans, no matter what ideology, I mean, whatever belief system that you have, really want some sense of identity of who we are. And that's what we don't have.
Mm-hmm. That's where we have a point. But this sounds like this might be a really good show topic to delve into deeper a bit later. Let's go to the phone lines. Hopefully I can do this right. God knows, I miss out on the couch so much. I really do. I hate him for leaving. We got a caller in a 619 with a 228 exchange. That's not like California. Caller, you there?
Yeah, San Diego. Yeah, what's going on?
San Diego. Hey, yeah, I used to live out there. That's why that area code. I'm like, that's Cali. What's up, caller? What's your name?
A.N.
What up, A.N.? Okay. Tell us why you're mad on this topic.
Oh man, because I'm mad, and I don't want the sister on the line to think I'm directing at her. I'm not directing it at her, because she put it her way, and she said she couldn't find the right words to describe exactly what she's saying. But I'm tired of people, because I wish I had my book, but I'm on the road. The voice in his book, Souls of Black Folks, he addressed the topic y'all were just talking about. And he talked about how people say, oh, you're American, you have all this, everything, and look where you are, and da-da-da-da, and you think you're in the worst situation, but you don't. But what they don't realize is the one thing to be poor, and everybody else is around you is poor, and you have a whole structure around it, and you guys all get by, and everywhere you look, 2 miles each way, everybody's poor. It's another thing to live in San Diego, where you write down, and you live in West Coast, which is a gang, drug-infested community, and you can look down the damn street, and you see skyscrapers, Maserati, all of that going right next to you. That's two totally different situations. So to try to equate the two struggles and say, oh, for sure, this is 100% for sure worse. Well, damn, I wish my parents could tell me where I was from and who I am, what tribe I am, and I could feel good about that. So maybe you don't know what my struggle is. While you're trying to say yours is worse, maybe you don't know my struggle. Maybe I would rather go be poor with people who are all family and not dysfunctional from years and years of chattel slavery and not even understanding how to channel our energy. And I also wish that I could cherry pick, because if you could go through Black America and cherry pick entrepreneurs, you could go through Black America and cherry pick Black people who made it out the community and are now in another nation, the white nation, doing things over there. You could cherry pick that all day. Just the same way you're cherry picking people from Barbados, people from Nigeria, people from Somalia who come out here, they have a certain mindset, they get cherry picked out of a whole nation, and they come over here and they get certain opportunities, you don't know what they're getting, and then we use them as a standard. But we don't go to Somalia or Barbados and go and look at their shiftless people and their whole everybody and say, oh, this is how Somalians are. We get cherry picked the one. So that's why I'm at. I am some other stuff, but I don't want to go on forever.
Well, there. Well, thank you. He was mad about that. Make sure you stay on the line. Keep listening, babe. Thank you, Madman. He definitely told that story, huh?
Yeah.
I think when we get into talking about, you know, he's right. And it's like everybody's right. Nobody's really wrong, especially when you deal with what we've been through as a people. When you deal with the trauma that we all have, and then you bring it into 2015 and you're trying to make sense of it, you know, it's crazy. I do have a friend who live on a continent who live in abject poverty, but the tribe across them live in luxury. Mm. So it's kind of akin to what we have here. You know, we hear about the corrupt government on the continent all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, they got some fly shit over here, son. I mean, some fly shit. Okay? But, and then the same thing is in India. If you go to India and you go to the slums of India, it's almost like a half mile down the road. It's nothing but glass and beauty and skyscrapers. And so you got people who they all look the same. It's, they aren't even divided by tribe, just by last name. You know, who some live poor, some live very rich, and they all the same people. But they also have, to my man's point that just hung up, they also have never been through abject chattel slavery like the Black American has. The Black American has a specific gene, I promise you this, that we have developed a specific gene of resiliency and strength that we have not even begun to tap into yet. I guarantee you. We got one more caller. We got a caller in the 704 with the 460 exchange. Caller, you there?
Oh, yes. Greetings to everyone.
Greetings.
This is Scotty from
North
Carolina.
What's your name, Madman? Tell us what. I know. What's up, Scotty?
What's up, fam? What's up, everyone?
What's up?
What's up? Wait a minute. Tell us about your man, son.
Well, like the last caller, I was feeling his call, and he expressed some of the sentiments that I was feeling. And I'm not mad at the sister or anybody that come over here with that perverted view of Black folks, of African descendant people. You have to understand, we're in the belly of the beast. All right. White supremacy is global. All right. It is a global system, but we in the belly of that beast. And, you know, earlier y'all were talking about reparations. Here's the issue I got with reparations or the people in the reparations community. Y'all keep talking like slavery is over. Y'all keep talking like slavery has been abolished. And slavery has not been abolished. It has only been amended. And so when you look at, you know, right now they about to let out, they say they're going to let out 60,000 people who should have never been in prison to begin with. All right, there's a whole
and then another, prison. And another 8,600 is going to be eligible after that big drop. Then they have 8,600 that's eligible to be released.
Yeah, and so,
but
you know,
here's,
when
the, here's the thing with that, Scotty. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what are they going to do with all of them people? All of that is they dumping them out to rebuild.
And that's a good question. And that's a good question, because guess what? Everybody ain't getting handouts over here like y'all think. Number one, in the 90s, they put a cap on that. They put a cap on it. After 5 years, that's all the help you're going to get. And then, and I have used SNAP benefits when I needed them, and I ain't feel a bit ashamed about it because I'm like, you owe me this anyway. You know, you ain't giving me nothing. I've been paying taxes. You know, I've been paying taxes when I was working, and now I'm down on my feet. You know what I'm saying? You're just giving me back my money. That's the way I look at it. We want to talk about reparations. They can be called reparations right there. And then they still owe. So I don't talk down on
people.
You
ain't doing the show in a minute.
Ooh, yeah, maybe that's time, too.
I'm not directing it at her because she was responding to what Akon was saying. Now, you know Akon is from the continent. But now there is, we're all going to see each other differently because we really don't know each other.
And who are, how are
that's
we seeing
like
each other?
My family talks about Black Americans. As I'm sure Sharon's family, because both our families are West Indian, so we look at it. I am a Black American, but I understand the West Indian, how they look at, because West Indians come here, they get 3, 4, 5 jobs. Whereas Black American families, you know, you'll see your uncle sitting on the couch not getting up to go get not one job. So there are things that West Indians, Black, and Black Americans see within living in the same space with each other, with the same opportunities mm-hmm. as each other, that the West Indian and the African who's working 3, 4 jobs will be like, motherfucker, if you don't get your ass up off that couch.
I don't think I'm looking down on people. I'm just presenting
the facts as I see them. Because I never look down on people, so it's just a fact. This is something that is happening.
Yeah,
this
but how are you seeing them? That's the thing that I want to point out. How are the people on the continent seeing us? Huh? Through the eyes of MTV? That's white people's,
I don't watch MTV.
Okay. Now let me finish. But you watch television though, right? You watch television, right?
They want it.
As little as possible. My mother called it the idiot box.
Okay. Well, where did you get your perception of Black people that you're calling it a fact when they're about estimated, and I know,
because
you know, this
I've
is a
I've lived
estimate.
In this country for 20 years, and I know
so
a lot of Black
every,
people.
You met 40, you know there are 40 million Black people in this country. What percentage do you think you've met?
I can't give you a percentage. I can just speak to what I know for who I know.
But what I'm saying is we have to think outside of what we just see around us. Okay, or what we get from white people.
But I can't speak to what I don't see. I have to speak to what I see. And then
you sound like an intelligent woman. You sound like an intelligent woman. Mm-hmm. All I'm trying to say is don't look at just around you, because there's 40 million people in this, Black people classified as Black in this country. It's probably more than that. All right.
I know good Black people, and I know ain't shit Black people. I know good white people.
Exactly.
I know ain't shit. We all have those uncles that don't want to do it. It's the same everywhere. There's lazy people everywhere.
There are people looking for handouts everywhere. So this is not specific, you know, this is not, insulting anyone, or I'm just stating a fact. And it's true wherever you go. There's the good
and it's true about every race too, isn't it?
I beg your pardon?
I said it's true of every race, because I live in a county that's 80% white. Well, all just
about
75% of them. I'm sorry, what was that?
I said we don't care about them white people. We don't care about them. We don't care about their problems right now. But wait a minute.
All I'm saying is you're talking about they got welfare in Barbados, and the whole continent is on welfare from the USA, which is really a bribe, so they can come in there and do what they want to do. But I'm saying, I live around all these white people, and I see those same stereotypes that's applied to us. I was at the convenience store the other day, and this white woman buying her daughter candy with an EBT card. For real.
Now,
like,
the BMW company
using
EBT card.
Yeah, and I'm just all I'm trying to say is It's hell in this country. It's hell in this country. And I know people that's trying to move to Africa because they think the grass is greener in Africa. And in some places in Africa, there are. Ghana, I got a friend who just moved to Ghana 2 years ago and got married her African brother, and she's happy. But guess what? She got that land that she got as a form of reparation payment that Ghana offers people here. So, I mean, we're saying that I'm not, you know, targeting anyone, but we're saying that some people over there think the grass is greener here in the United States, and some people in the United States think the grass is greener over there.
Right. And we can't change the water. I think that, one, I don't want to spend too much time on this topic because we got to get to the meat of the discussion, what we really need to discuss. But I think I'll start it because I don't know if you heard the clip that we played that led into the discussion with Akon talking about
how
he grew up and he came into. Okay, so that's where all of that started from. But
Akon don't know everything,
like we're saying, he's speaking to his experience as an African child coming into America. We're told that's the immigrant experience. That's not the I got kidnapped and sold here experience. He's talking from an immigrant experience and the one he has now achieved. So he's saying, from his point of view, you have all this opportunity. How have you not climbed? How have you not achieved? How have you not done these things? Because he doesn't understand the Black American experience.
Well, he should be hearing a lot about the criminal justice.
That's something that we need to get into at a different, exactly. And that's why we're having that as the prelude into this topic. So, Scotty, you want to come on a round table with us?
I got some work to do. I appreciate the opportunity.
Man, just say yes, and then if you can't, you just fall out if you have to. All right?
Okay, yes, I'll hang on. I will be part of the round table. But let me just finish, wrap that up everybody can't be a millionaire. Everybody wasn't blessed with brain cells. Some of these people are suffering from environmental poisoning and whatnot, and that's why they can't figure out 2 + 2 = 4. You know, we're dealing with people with psychological and mental, handicap. So everybody
trauma.
Everybody can't be a millionaire.
Post-traumatic slave syndrome. Every Black American is dealing with it, and it affects them in a lot of different ways. And add on top of that, immunizations, lead poisoning, asthma, bad food, disenfranchisement, criminal records. You preach to the choir, girl.
That's all I'm trying to say. We need to be working together, though. We need to be destroying these stereotypes that we may think of people in Africa or in other parts of the African diaspora, and they need to lay aside them stereotypes and feelings they might have about us, because we should all be working together to end white supremacy. That's how I feel about it.
I agree with you. Well, let's start working together by educating each other by starting this round table. Let's do it.
But she's checked. It ain't checkers. I'm putting cases on all you bitches. I said you protect the sheep by killing the motherfucking wolves. No, you didn't hear me. You listening, but you didn't hear me. It's not what you know. It's what you can prove. I've been planning it all week, son.
I actually been planning this one for 2 weeks. We was off air last week. Apologies, man, for not bringing you the knowledge. But I'm glad that we kept this actual topic, because sometimes when we miss a week, we'll go on for the next topic that we have planned. But I thought this was important because, unbeknownst to many Americans, slavery was never abolished, like Scotty Reed said before, and as you've read in our preamble for the show. But I'm just going to go through that preamble now. It was never abolished. 13th Amendment of the Constitution states it plainly. Slavery is abolished except for if you commit a crime. That is in the Constitution of the United States. Okay? Now, the methods have changed for slavery, but the practice is still the same. Now, slavery is called fancy names like mass incarceration, and the plantation is now the prison industrial complex. And we, Black Americans, support it. Now, when I first said that, people was like, ah, really don't, ah, yeah. But yeah, you do. We do it in thought. We do it with our finances. And most of us do it without even realizing it. We support the modern slavery of Black Americans, and it's entrenched in our everyday life. So each madman has the research for you guys so that you can take this information and think on it. This is not really a debate. We're just going to present you information. We're going to talk about it. And then you can take it. You can think about it. And then you can think about how you can divest. Now, remember, before we came onto the roundtable, I said, think about ways you can divest out of mass incarceration, out of modern-day slavery, similar to how we were rallying and marching for corporations and universities to divest out of South Africa because they were supporting apartheid. Well, right now you have apartheid and slavery happening here. You are supporting it. You are funding it. You are practicing it in your everyday life, in your thought, speech, and pattern. And we are asking you to divest. And we're going to show you how you're doing that. But first, let me give you some background on that.
While the rest of the U.S. may be struggling for work, there's currently a real boom of job offers for inmates in the country. But state and some of the biggest private companies are now enjoying the fruits of a cheap and readily available workforce with tens of millions of dollars spent by private prisons to keep their jails full. RT's Gaynor Chicken takes up the story.
In the U.S., the market for cheap labor is booming behind bars. In the last 15 years, partnership between prisons and private manufacturers has increased significantly. They're becoming America's very own Chinese-style manufacturing line behind prison walls. Prisons, in fact, advertise themselves as such, as an alternative to outsourcing cheap labor to China or elsewhere. On the web, we came across this pitch that prisons prepared to persuade private sector companies to come and do business with them. Take a look.
There's not enough folks that will do this type of work in this country. So therefore, we're bringing back this industry that historically has been going out of this country, and we're putting it, you know, inside the walls. And it's absolutely a perfect idea. I have a workforce that does not have car problems or babysitting problems, etc. They're always here, and they're always willing to come to work.
Bring your business to our labor.
A wide variety of industries take advantage of prison labor. Among many other things, prisoners make clothing, textiles, electronics, furniture, and even solar panels.
Just as we're trying to get China to stop with their prison labor, ours is at the same time increasing.
Hundreds of companies have used prison labor directly or through subcontractors, including Microsoft, Boeing, Starbucks, Victoria's Secret, and others.
They qualify for federal tax breaks. They can get recompensated up to 40% of the wages that they pay to these inmates. We as taxpayers, we have to house, feed, and provide medical care and everything for all of these inmates. We do this as taxpayers. It comes out of the tax pool. And that keeps the actual prison workforce healthy and in shape to go out and perform these jobs for these private companies.
Hard working and reliable. Inmates show up for work every day voluntarily.
Work in prison is mandatory, and the choice many inmates have is whether to work for a government-run prison industry for less than a dollar an hour or a private one for a minimum wage of around $6.
Unicor is a government-owned corporation that uses prison labor to produce all kinds of goods, mainly for other government agencies. 175 different types of products and services. You see the variety listed on their website. They, too, partner up with private firms now. Last year, Unicor's revenue reached $900 million.
As far as private prisons are concerned, two of the country's biggest prison corporations made $3.3 billion last year alone.
Private prisons are traded on the New York Stock Exchange. They are for-profit companies. And the savings that they reap from using inmate labor go to their bottom line. It's money they otherwise don't have to spend in order to keep the facility running.
Large prison populations and harsh sentences result in greater profits. America's three major private prison companies spend around $45 million over the past 10 years on lobbying state and federal governments for supporting immigrant detention, mandatory minimum sentences, three strikes laws, and other legislative measures that contribute to the growth of America's gigantic prison population.
The U.S. now holds more people behind bars than any other nation, more than 2 million. That's one quarter of all prisoners in the world. From a cost-effectiveness point of view, the $45 million that private prisons have reportedly spent over the past decade lobbying to keep prisons full is peanuts compared to the billions that they make every year. One can argue about the many causes and effects of America's skyrocketing incarceration rate, but since prisons became a for-profit industry in the U.S. 30 years ago, the number of prisoners has gone up dramatically. Not to say that it was the only cause behind the spike, but many argue it was part of it. And now with the cheap labor market expanding behind American bars, one is wondering whether the justice system in the U.S. is adopting market values. In Washington, I'm Ganesh Chicken.
So there you have it.
Bye.
In other words,
it's
you're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry who makes its money based on the cheap labor of prisoners. You better believe that they are going to try to pack those cells. And if they do not pack those cells, they're going to have to pay those corporations for those beds. That is how it works. So guess what happens? If you toss a cigarette on the street, you are now a slave. If you speak out of turn to an overseer or an officer or a slave catcher, that is the police, understand these terms. The police used to be with the slave catchers back in the day. They just gave them badges. This is actually what the police force in this country was formed to do, to catch slaves and return them to their master. This is what they did. They now are doing it. The methodology has changed, but the game is the same. The police catch you, they send you over to the fucking prison. Okay? They send you, well, no, they catch you, they take you to the auction block, which is now our court. The judge then sells you, sends you out to the plantation where you are overseen by an overseer and all the overseers, which is the warden. And they pack those prisons and you are there to plant cotton and tobacco and sugar cane and put a Made in America sticker on Victoria's Secret panties.
Right.
That is the fuck is going on right now. But nobody has told y'all black asses this in layman terms that you can understand. Nick Fatale.
Yes.
What is your research for the folks?
My research is for the folks that always talk about they don't buy blood diamonds. It's about the diamond industry. Diamond industry, trillion-dollar industry. Everyone is buying into it. Everyone is flossing. They have their diamonds on. But what they don't know is that in most cases, they're paying for forced labor. Now, forced labor is any labor that is forced upon the party. They're made to perform the task by either threats or violence, and they are kept under control by those same means. Now, when we discuss blood diamonds or we discuss conflict diamonds, at the time when those terms were coined, they were referring to diamonds that were used to fund war or to fund insurgency. Now, those same diamonds are used as a point of control. Like, they have these people who are diamond mine workers that they refer to as diamond mine laborers, but these people are also being forced into that labor. They are being held against their will in some cases. They are being beaten. They are being tortured. And in most cases, they are being killed. Some people have been sent back to the village after a number of people have been held under the control of security guards or private security guards that work at the diamond mine. They hold the people. They don't let them return back to their village. They'll let maybe one person go. And when that person gets back to the village, they are to come to secure a bribe or to secure monies to come back and offer the private security guard so that they can buy back the freedom of the people from their village that are being held there. This is what you're paying for when you're paying for these diamonds. Just because they say that they're conflict-free diamonds, they're not blood diamonds, doesn't mean that they are violence-free diamonds. They're not.
Oh.
they're using that term to blind you, to make you think that, oh, I'm buying this, I'm going to Zales, and everything is all good, but they all fall under the same umbrella. They all go back to Angola. They all go back to Sierra Leone. They all go back to these places where people are being held against their will or being forced into labor by violence or threats to their family, or even their family being kidnapped, they're being tortured, they're missing limbs. All of these things are happening right under our noses, and we continue to fund them because we want to have the appearance of having a better lifestyle. Because that's basically what you're buying. You're buying a lifestyle. You're buying an illusion, and they're providing you with the right to purchase that illusion by saying that it's conflict-free. We adhere to this certain process, this Kimberly process, so we do not sell, we do not, you know, trade conflict diamonds. So you feel comfortable, and you go and you buy it, and you're actually supporting a form of slavery. You're supporting slavery.
And I wonder how the narrative would change if we began to look at the people that wear all these diamonds and confront them, especially black people. And actually be like, you got on all those diamonds. Do you know how many lives are attached to each diamond? How about we take you and we put you in that environment and see how you feel about that?
That environment did exist in the United States, man. They ain't taking, after the passage of the 13th Amendment, which amended slavery, became the convict leasing program. And that's who they were sending, you know, people into those mines, doing coal mining, doing gold mining, mining for minerals, building railroads. And not only, and we're not just talking about adults, children. They were using children here in the United States. Okay, here in the United States, we ain't talking about ancient history either.
Nope.
We're talking just about,
150 years. Glamorize. Black folks still glamorize. Oh, I want a diamond. I want time and tennis paper. I'll buy me a diamond wedding ring, and y'all could just go down to the tattoo parlor and get tattoos on the fingers.
Or you can purchase something else. Stop buying diamonds.
And let me tell you what them diamond companies also doing, because diamonds are not valuable. You going and paying, you know, thousands of dollars for a piece of glass, and that's really what you're paying for. The hardest piece of glass
in the world.
Yeah, they withhold them diamonds off the market.
They
are not rare.
Mm-hmm. Right. They control the flow of the diamonds and how many diamonds go into the public that are going out to being traded to go to different companies. They control the flow of those diamonds, so they control the value. If you make something rare, you make something unattainable, and you hold back and you don't give it, you don't give everything, you make it rare. You make it, you know.
Yeah. What you're really paying for is
the main point to remember. The main point to remember, and we got to move on to Juan, is that your purchase of that diamond is funding slavery.
Correct.
Point blank.
Correct.
Point blank. What's your research for the Madman family?
Well, something I had did some research on. I kind of did something with this in college too. The human trafficking issue that's been going on. Believe it or not, you know, the government was sort of tracking. They've been knowing about, even though with slavery, like modern day slavery, involuntary servitude, they've been tracking it ever since the 70s and the 1980s. But they kind of took a backseat to it because of, you know, some other things that was going on in the government. But basically, according to the U.S. State Department, at least 18,000 people have been trafficked per year into this country. You know, we're talking about Guatemalans, Mexicans, East Asians, you know, East Europeans coming into the country, you know, being forced into servitude. In particular, one of the ones I want to highlight in particular was what they call, you know, labor trafficking. Like you see a lot of these Chinese restaurants. And I read a story, they highlighted a woman who was brought over here. She came from China, and she was brought over by, a smuggler. They call them snakeheads. You know, she basically paid $8,000 to be trafficked over here. And when she was brought over, you know, her passport got taken away, and, you know, all her, you know, identified documents and everything. And she's forced to work the underground restaurant network. How it works is that, you know, they have some of these Chinese factories, these Chinese families that own a large chain of these Chinese restaurants that you see around in your hoods and the neighborhoods across America,
mm-hmm.
and they're basically bouncing around between restaurant to restaurant. I mean, starting from New York, Boston, you know, to the South.
And guess where the majority of those restaurants are?
I'll give you one guess.
I'll give you,
I mean, if you, when you go by that, and you get, and these are slaves that you're talking to every single day, and you are financing it, and you go with it by that chicken wing, four chicken wings, four five bucks. Come on now.
And, you know, there's some detail about how she's paid less than $100 a month, and that, you know, and she's basically in debt servitude. With, mm-hmm. with this underground, you know, restaurant network. And, you know, and let's see some
and they're
like
using black money to fund it.
Huh?
I'm sorry, they're using black money to fund it. The only place you see the majority of Chinese restaurants where they have them immigrants on that damn servitude, slavery pipeline is in black neighborhoods. That shit ain't in white neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No.
And look at a lot of our, as I've sung before about a lot of our Guatemalans or Mexicans that come over here to this country. You know, they have them picking tomatoes and cucumbers and stuff in the fields right now, and they're paying them less than $2 an hour. You know, getting free labor off them in slave-like conditions. And they're going to be the same stuff that they're eating Chinese chicken and selling it in the stores. Selling it in the local grocery stores. Probably picked by, you know, a Mexican, you know, that brought it illegally and forced to work in these conditions that they're in.
The human trafficking that
I'm
you're talking about.
On the Chinese food right now.
The human trafficking that you're talking about is illegal. If those people get caught, if they're prosecuted, if they're convicted, they can go to prison for that. But the United States government and private corporations also do human trafficking. You know, if you get convicted of a crime in Hawaii, you know, usually Native Hawaiians or Samoans or Filipinos and whatnot is filling up their jails and stuff. They don't stay in the state where, in Hawaii on an island where their family is. They get human trafficked across the Pacific Ocean to a private prison like the GEO Group or the Correction Corporation of America or one of them private plantations, and then they're put to work too. You know what I'm saying?
And that's why immigration is becoming such a huge issue, because now they want the immigrants to now continue to fuel the prison population, i.e. slave population, because now they're realizing that black Americans are getting too much power, they're getting too much economic power, we can't depend on that labor pool anymore. Let's get the immigrants. So that's why that push, when you hear these politicians pushing, oh, immigration this, we now got to reform the laws and this, that, and third, that is because they are now the largest growing group of prison labor. All of those internment camps are work camps.
And they even put children in them. They even put children, entire families, and I've heard them describe it as education. We don't Americanize them, you know, and make it sound like, you know, it's some family camp or something. Everybody's having a good time and the kids learning English and all that. And they, you know, why their parents go off to slaves. I mean, it's
only
just
thing
terrible.
They can speak is made in America, because that's all they see every day as they're switching it on to the pants.
And that's the real reason why they won't secure the border. Why secure the border and cut off your flow of potential slaves?
And here's something else to wrap your head around in reference to the human trafficking. They not only just come after the immigrants, they're getting people from some of your black brothers and sisters from the United States. That's more than also.
Yeah.
Some of these strip clubs and stuff, some of these girls, there's one story I happened to look up about, a young girl, she was 17 years old. You know, she was hanging around in the neighborhood. She had met this young lady, you know, and stayed up the block from her. You know, she never met him before. They became fast friends, and she had a guy that was her father. You know, supposedly she was living with, you know, her father at the time. She asked her mother to go spend the night with the girl. So she went over there to go spend the night with the same girl. And then, you know, she got drugged up. She got kidnapped. She was gang raped. And she was on her way to Texas to be sold to a man for $300,000. She was going to be sold to the guy. Luckily, she escaped, you know, with her life, and, you know, she was able to call 911 and get away from her captors and stuff. So, you know, nowadays, they kidnap young ladies, off the street.
But
that's something, but I tell you this though, Awan, that's something that's been happening to black folk from way back.
Yes.
Not just off the street in the middle of the daytime. They call the night, riders.
Ain't that what happened to 20 years of slaves?
Off the street and used for human trafficking, for organs, and for sex, and for medical experimentation. Yeah, it's only when they started snatching people of other nationalities that it became, oh, we have a human trafficking problem. But when they were snatching our black asses up for hundreds of years, and there wasn't nobody.
They're still doing it.
Remember that boy they found rolled up in the map? They took all our boy organs out? Half of the black men that you find that goes missing, when they are recovered, all of their organs are out of their body. But that's a whole nother topic.
Yes.
Let me take in our special guest. Sharon, I know we're a little bit past 11:30. This is the Madman Crew. When we get into it, You got to jump in, sis. Tell me your thoughts on this topic so far.
Well, I really didn't know too much about it, and as I was coming home and you had mentioned that this was what you were talking about, I was talking to my son, he's 21 years old, and he, you know, drew to my attention, the profit, the huge profits that private corporations are having off of the imprisonment of all these people, so I'm actually gonna do some further research into it, because I find it really, really interesting. Yes,
that's something that you could definitely talk about on the Big Red Couch. Share the knowledge about this. Definitely. We can go on the cloud.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, no, okay. Okay. Glove, I know you're ready to go. What you got for us? Let's get sharing some more information.
Okay, this is going to be short and sweet because we are over time. But mine is regarding to public education in general. It's something that everybody...
That's a whole nother hour.
Yeah, I know. But, like I said, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. The slave master never wants their slaves to be educated to begin with. And when slavery was, quote-unquote, abolished, but the proper term, amendment, I love that term. I need to remember that myself. what they did is, all the, private schools by white people start sprouting them out of the blue. So they did not want they didn't want no type of, integration between, black public schools with white public schools. And it kept on growing and laws kept on redistricting to make sure that white schools, are at one area, and black schools, well, predominantly black areas there. And that's where the government funding goes to the white schools and nothing going to the black schools at all. Along with that, you can check this out on Business Insider. This is about the recent report back in August. It was showing a disproportion of black students either getting suspended or expelled. Or expulsion. And what they see is a cycle showing how these black, these public schools in these black areas is training them or training them to be criminals, convicts, getting them into that, jail prison system, which you started off the topic with. So it's like a cycle that starts with public schooling.
Right. They call that the school-to-prison pipeline.
Right.
The kid ain't even committed a crime in the street. He acts up in school, regular act up, maybe throw a book or throw a tantrum. He gets arrested and sent to juvenile detention.
And listen, y'all are not exaggerating. I don't want Sharon or anybody else to think that y'all are exaggerating. Sharon is looking for
Why are you picking on me? I don't think they're exaggerating.
Yeah, but it's a Sharon. It's other.
Guys, remember the judge?
Remember the judge that got caught taking all those bribes?
It was two judges. Mm-hmm. Two judges in Pennsylvania were being bribed by, guess what this youth detention facility was called? All right. Man, I can't even remember right now. I mean, it was called something like, you know, school education or something for youth, you know, youth mm-hmm. something, you know,
all
make it sound like a daycare or something like that, all right? But, no, I want to share this other story. No, Sharon, I wasn't calling you out. I was going to tell you before you get off the line to go to, if you're on Facebook, Move to Abolish 21st Century Slavery. Just type that in the search engine. There are about 2,000 of us. We call ourselves New Abolitionists. Child
yes.
Bundy is
I
an abolitionist.
I am part of that group as well.
Exactly.
We madmen are part of that group as well. Definitely.
Yes, we share that information, and these are real stories. And the real story that it came to my mind, beside the one you brought up about those judges in Pennsylvania, there was a story out of Alabama when Eric Holder, he actually sued them. You know, nobody got prosecuted mm-hmm. criminally or anything. But this is what they were doing. Like, for example, if a kid shot a spitball or something like that, that you might get in school suspension. They were arresting these kids and taking them straight to the private youth detention facility. For real.
Would get big fat checks for each kid that they sent there. And every kid they sent was a black child, a black boy, every single one. And those were just the two judges that got caught. There are thousands of them that are still participating in this. But nobody would listen to the parents. The kids just disappear. The parents don't have the money to give them a bullshit-ass defense attorney. And they fucking fall through the cracks.
Fall through the cracks.
And that's why I said, fuck that Farrakhan march. If they ain't marching to the prison and yelling like Moses, let my people go. If they ain't got tents on them lawns where everybody can get a fucking business loan. Fuck a march, because then it's only a big-ass church service out on the lawn in D.C. Fuck that. Ain't nobody going there.
Sorry,
Glove. Go ahead.
I just want to say that this is why more and more of our people doing homeschooling, because they don't want to go through all what's going through with these public schools, and the way they're set up nowadays is no different from the prison. It pretty much go hand in hand, so they are already getting conditioned into that kind of mode, so where that's all they know when they go inside the in and out prison. That means that was all they know, because that's what they're getting trained and conditioned.
Let me show you how deep what he said just is. There's a company called Aramark. They are the same people that feed the majority of the prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who feed the majority of the school children in the poor neighborhood where all the kids are going to jail?
And they've been fooled many times. They've been maggots in the food, stories coming out about maggots in the food, spoiled food, rats. I'm serious.
So your kid is used to the same food from age 7 to the age of when he died in that prison, provided by the same company.
Wow.
That your school district is paying for with your tax dollars.
Right.
But you turn a blind eye to it. You understand? This is how we support and finance the slavery. And it's got to stop. We have got to figure out ways to divest. Glove said it right. Homeschool. Now, I know all of us can't do it, but if enough of us do it, then a consortium will come about so that those kids whose parents can't do it can be supported by the parents that
can do it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, but it's going
to
take a long time.
Like the church next door to my house.
In Newark, they just had a meeting here in Newark today where Umar and them to begin that process, and they're doing it all over the state. So these are the types of ways that we can begin to divest.
Yeah, they just had a Black Homeschool Expo in Atlanta. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. That was that, too.
Yeah, homeschooling is not that hard, people. it's not that hard. And the rules are not really strict. There are many black scholars who've done lectures on homeschooling, but you can also do homeschool collectives. You know what I'm saying? Where a parent, their day, to, you know, they alternate days or whatnot. But we got these big churches all over. Look, I got three churches within a half a mile of where I am. That's the school house.
I was about to say the same thing about these churches. If we are able to invest for to erect a church, how can we not do that to erect our own school?
Mm-hmm. Back in the day, the churches used to be the schoolhouses for our children. What happened? Mm-hmm. Now, the churches are nothing but they work the same way the TV works. They dull the mind. They get you into that pitiful, I can't do nothing on my own state. And it's meant to keep you subservient, and it's meant to mentally castrate you. That's why a lot of young people don't fuck with the church at all, because they see it for what it is. And a lot of people have divested their mentality out of the church already. So that change is already starting, because you see your mind first. And if you're not subdued by some charlatan on a stage, you're able to have free thought. And then the possibilities become endless. Free thought leads to free mind, body, and soul. You will never have that in the church. Never. Let me get to my couple, and I'm going to go real quick. I'm going to do a glove because I know we over. Apologize, madman, but you know how we get on these types of topics. The way that we are supporting slavery right now, ways that you can try to divest it. I know it's going to be hard. Some of the names I'm going to throw out at you guys, y'all going to be like, oh, hell no. What? Bitch, I can't live without that. Are you serious? But guess what? Every time you buy it, you are supporting the complex, because they use prison labor to manufacture these things. These corporations do that. So let's take a look at it. The top of my list is Whole Foods. Now, let me tell you about Whole Foods. When we had first started this whole program of trying to divest out of companies that are supporting the complex, Whole Foods is one of the first corporations to be like, you know what? Y'all are right. We are supporting modern-day slavery. We divest. Just came out last week, right after we were going to go on air last week with this show. It came out at the same time that they divested. So shout out to Whole Foods for that. But they were paying inmates 74 a day to raise fish. 74 cents. The fish that they was buying, the company was paying inmates only 74 cents, forcing these people to work. Whole Foods wiped their hands of it. They said, we ain't going to be with that. We're not with that. That slavery is in it. So let me tell you who still is with it. McDonald's. They make so all the uniforms for the milk food chain. They process the food as well. So, I mean, if you can't think about your cheeseburger like that, think about it like this. There's a very creepy guy who's a pedophile putting together your kids' happy meal. How about that? Will that help you guys out? Will that help you? How about Walmart? Okay. They have prisoners working in the goddamn field to bring you those freshly packed packages of lettuce. And y'all black asses go in there and buy it that your cousin spent all day out on the goddamn plantation picking. Forced to. Not asked. Forced. Don't let them make it seem like they asked these motherfuckers to do this shit. Victoria's Secret. You go buy your girl some panties and shit. Guess what? Your auntie that got locked up the other day was forced to sew that shit on her panties and 5 million other panties all day for nothing. Yeah, man. But all you see is a little skinny blonde chick twirling around in commercial. But your dollars is what's making your people sew all of that shit on that bicycle. AT&T, I got to cut my phone off. They're using the services too. Yes. BP, if you fill up your gas tank at the BP oil station, you're funding modern-day slavery.
Fidelity Investments. You got your 401k over there? Guess what? For all you upperclassmen, black Americans who got money to invest with your 401k, you are happy and proud. Guess where your investment is at? The prison.
You were talking to my ex-husband about that.
Do your research. And I know a lot of us is like, well, damn, I can't take my money at my 401k. It's with my employer, blah, 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 blah. All right, cool, we get it. Go in there, make sure that your portfolio is not attached to one of those corporations, not attached to a prison corporation. Go in and do the research for yourself, please. Because
or start
every
a movement at your company.
Invest, exactly.
Start a divestment movement at your company, like those university students did at Columbia. And force them teachers there in a university to divest from private prisons.
That's right.
So
it works with apartheid. It works. Trust me. A lot of people, oh, yeah, we were just talking. No. They pulled their money out. That shit was over. You can't do nothing in this world without money. And if you really want to stop the enslavement of your people, of your human brothers and sisters, and you will digest. You will figure out how you are supporting this mentally and physically and with your money. And you will stop it. Get out of the churches. Homeschool your kids. Stop supporting these corporations. Force them to divest that already work for Whole Foods. You only got about 500 more thousand of these corporations to go. Sounds like a daunting number, but shit, you got one to divest. And they're one of the biggest motherfuckers out here. You're talking about Whole Foods.
Wow.
Put the pressure on black people, because it's your people that are in those prisons that is doing this work, and they're not going to stop. They're only going to increase it, whereas it's going to become a crime to even blink. You're going to be in slavery. Look at your constitution and understand what's going on. We got to end the show. I got to thank Sharon. Sharon, you are absolutely fantastic. If you came on the Madman show, you could criticism, you didn't get an attitude, you didn't hang up the phone. I love it. Please tell everybody where they can find you. Scotty St. Alan, we're coming to you next. Please tell them where they can find you, Sharon.
Oh, they can find me at divawithanattitude.com or my Facebook page, Lit Fraud.
Fantastic. And we'll also put her information up. Can't wait for your podcast to drop. We look for you to do a show like this on the Big Red Couch as well. Also got to shout out my man, Scotty Reed from the Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty Reed, let them know where they can find you, bro.
Well, this show is about ending slavery, and that's what I'm about 24/7. I'm going to keep it real. I'm a revolutionary. I want to dissolve USA, Inc. Yes, this place that you're calling this government, you're calling a nation or whatnot, is actually a corporation, incorporated in 1871. So I want to see it dissolve, but pending revolution, because we ain't got enough revolutionaries, then I'm willing to work with people through pushing bills and demonstrating or whatever it is that you can do to put pressure on these people to stop doing what they're doing. That's the reason they're releasing 60,000. And then the other number that Chabuki announced earlier, I think she said something over 100,000. That's coming from the pressure of abolitionists and activists out here in the street. Everybody playing a role, the divestment campaigns and all of that. And so you are making an impact. And I'll leave you with this, though. That deal that Bernie Sanders is pushing, Justice is Not for Sale Act 2015, also sponsored by this Hispanic brother from Arizona, that will abolish private prisons. And that is who we are really up against that's pushing all of this legislation that's enslaving people. If we can abolish private prisons, make it illegal practice, then we will strike a great blow against modern slavery. And so check us out. You can find me Move to Abolish 21st Century Slavery, because I'm trying to recruit new abolitionists, and that's on Facebook. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Scotty. Shout out to my madman, Glove, Nick Fatal, Juan, and to our three madmen that were under the weather, B.E.V., Craig G., the Hater, and who am I missing? Ronan. Agent 317. Shout out to them. We hope you guys are feeling better and join us next week. It was an interesting topic tonight, a volatile one. Madmen, please do your research. And remember, Do not be fooled by the headlines that they are just letting out all of these people. Guess what? They're letting out over a couple thousand people with no resources. No resources. It's gonna be mayhem. They're gonna just let loose all of these quote unquote people with no, fallback, no resources, no benefits, just to put them right back into the prison again. So, take with a grain of salt the information that comes out and ask questions. That's all we ask you to do, do the research. Madman, we will see you guys next week. www.whitemadson.com. Dolly, how you doing? Special shout out. Thanks again to Sharon, Big Red Couch. Make sure you find her. Make sure you visit our website, whitemadson.com. Make sure you visit us on Facebook, whitemadson radio. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at whitemadson. Peace, Madman. We love you. We out.
Thank you.
Yeah, consumerism's running through them like a tumor in them. Ageism, sexism, racism, chauvinism. Capitalism running through them like the rumor business. Separatism, skepticism, modernism, atheism. Television running through them like an organism. Mechanism, despotism, poison, ecosystem. Satanism running through them like a politician. Hedonism, hypocrisy, nihilism, narcissism. Egotism running through them needing exorcism. Situation, hedonism, adversary, demonism. To fix forms of religious spontaneity is a bad decision. Cataclysm, Darwinism, barbarism, formalism. European fetishism, terrorism. Running through them on their televisions.